devil and help me not to say anything that I shouldn't as well. But Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would do the speaking as I step aside. I love you and I thank you and I ask this in your precious name. Amen. I want to speak on this subject here, more than meets the eye. Here the king of Syria in our story, he was trying to set a trap for the king of Israel. But every time he sent his men to trap him, the king of Israel avoided the area because he'd been warned. Now, the king of Syria is becoming more and more paranoid, and he's going around and he's saying, well, there's got to be one of you guys or a spy. Well, who's for the king of Israel? And the servant said, no, it's not us, you know. It's that man of God over there in Israel. He's informing the king of all your secret attacks. It's that prophet, Elisha. And so the king told his men to spy out the land and at that time, Elisha and his servant were in a little town called Dothan. And so the king, he went and he sent his army to Dothan by night and with the orders to capture Elisha and to bring him back for questioning, you know. And they surrounded the city with their horses and with their chariots, the whole army to capture one man. And I'm sure the military men at the time, they thought, well, this is easy duty here. I mean, an army against one. You know, let's surround the city and nobody in and nobody out. Let's have fun with this guy. Let's put a little fear into him. And what they didn't realize is that there was more to that man than met the eye. And in the morning when Elisha's servant rose up and he was on his way to the bathroom and he looked up half asleep and he all of a sudden he began to see the chariots and the armies that were all surrounding him. And he began to, he was terrorized by what he saw. He was in panic for his life. And when he discovered the city was completely surrounded, he believed that he was in a hopeless situation. And he started running back home for the man of God, full of fear, just to tell his master, my Lord, what shall we do? And however, Elisha, he didn't jump on the panic wagon. In fact, he remained rather calm. And he reassured his servant of what he believed. He said, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And when he said that, he had prayer for him. He said, and Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. The young man's eyes were opened, and he saw what Elisha believed. See, the Bible never really says if Elisha saw the flaming horses and chariots or not, but it was years earlier when Elijah was taken that he got a glimpse of one. But he believed that they were there, and he knew that he was on God's side, and he knew that there was more to the situation than meets the eye, because Elisha believed well, he was able to see well. There's so much more to this world that's surrounding you and me right now. The struggle in the sound booth tonight. I can guarantee you there's something behind that. It's more than just it's not working. I can guarantee you when the live stream drops off, there's more to it than just that. I can guarantee it that the adversity that you face in your life on a day-to-day basis, there's more to it than meets the eye, you know. There's so much more to life than meets the eye, and God has ordained it that way. In fact, you know, our eye only sees what's called the light spectrum. But on the light spectrum, it starts way over here with microwaves and sound waves and radio waves, and then it winds up over here. Then you run through this little blip called the rainbow, you know, and that's all we see. And then it goes all the way over here into X-rays and gamma rays, ultraviolet rays, and all these other things that we can't see. It's all light, but we only see this much. And God has ordained it that way on purpose. You know, Hebrews 12:1 says, "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." I mean, sometimes we lose sight that we're not just living our lives unwatched, but there is a great cloud of witnesses. I don't know if they're near or far from us. I don't know if they're in this room. You know, but the Bible says we're surrounded and they see some of what we do. And if we saw all there was to see, there would be no faith to live by. And faith in God on earth is more precious than gold. It's more precious than anything you can own here. You know, 1 Peter says this. It says, verse 5, it says, "We who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." It's more, the trying of your faith is much more precious than gold. One day we're all going to appear before the judgment, before Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you what, who's going to fare well on that day? It's those who believed well through the eyes of faith, can see well, and therefore they will labor well with confidence. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 6 says this, "Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith. We're confident, I say, willing rather, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted in Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or whether or bad." There is more to this life that God gave us than meets the eye. And we must believe well in order to see well. Hebrews 11:1 says this, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen are made of things which do not appear." Elisha's prayer for that young man that day, you know, he prayed, "Lord, let his eyes be open." He didn't even... Elisha was probably in the house. He didn't see the chariots out there. But he believed well, therefore he could see well. And when the young man came in, he prayed, "Lord, open his eyes so that he could see what I know and what I believe. Open his eyes." That prayer reminds me of another prayer that a man of God prayed for you and me. It's found in Ephesians verse 1, or chapter 1, verse 15. It says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks unto you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being opened, being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of your calling? And what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power?" You know, the guy that wrote this, his name was Saul. Saul lived his life in a religious pursuit of God. He had been well-educated, well-trained. But at the stoning of Stephen, he saw something. There was more to that guy than met the eye. He'd seen people stoned before. He was holding the coats that day, you know. But when he saw this guy die, he never saw a man die praising God. He never saw a man die forgiving his murderer, murdering the people throwing the stones, the people that are killing him. And for years, that haunted him. He saw something that day. There was more to Stephen than met the eye. And one day on the road to Damascus, Saul became Paul. Well, as he got knocked off his high horse and he was stricken blind, that is where he began to see. And what he began to see was this. He began to see that there is more to Jesus than meets the eye. You know, Paul prayed for the eyes of our understanding to be opened and to be enlightened so that we might comprehend and believe that there is more to life than meets the eye. You know, because Elisha believed well, therefore he could see well, therefore he handled things well. I love the way he handled that situation. You know, he asked God to blind the Syrian army. He says, yep, they're out there. So he goes on out there and he says, blind the Syrian, Lord, would you blind this army? And he blinds the Syrian army. And he says, now who are you looking for? He says, we're looking for Elisha. Oh, well, he's not here. Follow me. I will take you to him. And he sits there and he leads them over into the next area and he brings them right into Samaria. And now the army of Israel is surrounding the army of Syria. And then he has them open their eyes. He asks God to open their eyes. And the king of, you know, and the king of Israel, he's like, what do I do with them? Can you imagine how after thinking that they're in control, going to go after one guy, now all of a sudden they're surrounded? And the king of Israel goes, what should I do? And he said, shall I smite him? And Elisha goes, whoa, is that how you want to be treated? Why don't you feed him and let him go? You know, I love the way that Elisha handled the situation. You know, because he could see well, he believed well, and he could see well. So he handled things well. You know, after an experience like that, I can imagine how the Syrian army was going home. They're saying, hey, there's more to that Elisha than meets the eye. There's more to that God in Israel that meets the eye. And I can tell you for sure, there is more to this life than meets the eye. You know, we're living in a day where it's not hard to feel surrounded just like they were. The enemy has come down with great wrath, knowing that his time is short. Yeah, he's messing with the sound booth tonight. He probably messed with you this week. He's messed with me. He's messing with all of us. He's come down. He knows his time is short. You know, it's all a tactic to put you in fear and to stop the work of faith. You know, the work of faith that was started here. You know, we're surrounded, by sin and apathy and evil on every side. And the winds of adversity against the church are blowing stronger than by the day. But, you know, one day Jesus said to the disciples, told them to get into a boat and to go to the other side. While he went up on a mountain to pray. And while he was up on the mountain, you know, he watched their struggle. He watched that the wind was blowing contrary to them. He watched that the waves were not letting them get ahead. And they were toiling and they were sweating. And there was little progress being made as they were attempting to obey God and go to the other side like he told them. And he came to them in the fourth watch of the night. In a very miraculous way, just walking on the water. And he... But only one out of 12 believed well enough to get out of the boat. While Jesus walked on the water, Peter walked on the word, but he came to take them all to the other side. Well, Hopewell Baptist Church, you know, you are that little boat. And God is sitting up on his holy hill. We're experiencing adversity and winds like never before in this day that we're living in. Could it be that Jesus is on his way? You know, he's been watching the toil. He's been watching everything that's going on. Nothing's catching him by surprise. You know, let's say if we called the 2,000 years between Adam and Noah the first watch, and maybe the 2,000 years between Noah and Jesus the second watch, and maybe 2,000 years between Jesus and today, you know, the third watch, that puts us about 23 years into the fourth watch. Could it be that he's not very far away? Could it be that he's been watching all along? And here's the thing. When he came walking on the waters, did the disciples recognize him? No, they said, it's a spirit. It's the boogeyman. No, they didn't recognize him at first. They didn't realize it was even Jesus. Peter says, Lord, if it's you, bid me come. And at least he got out of the boat. He had enough faith to believe well to get out of the boat. Hey, this is our time to get out of the boat. Yeah, things are adverse. Yeah, things are against us. But this is, as a church, this is the time for us to get out of the boat. You know, and to walk on the word as servants of God, we can respond one or two ways. We can go into panic mode over the temporal circumstances like Elisha's servant did. We can stay huddled in the boat and play church and just let the world go to hell. Well, I don't know. It's getting really bad out there. We can be like that, or we can be like that young man going to, where is it? Guyana, Africa? No. Ghana? I can't say it. Anyway, you can be like him, getting out of the boat. You know, hey, we need to get out of the boat. You know, we can be like the disciples, playing it safe, you know. Or we can get into Elisha mode and open our eyes and to the big picture, keeping eternity in view. Hey, this life you think you're trying to live right now, it ain't going to be very long. You know, Brother Dewey, he's already there. Brother Dave is there. Others are there. You know, soon you'll be there. If he doesn't come for us, which I think he is coming for us, but it ain't going to be long. You know, but we need to believe well so that we can see well. We need to get into Elisha mode, open our eyes, keep the big picture in mind. You know, we need to get out of the boat like Peter and walk by faith on God's word, you know, and build something and do something. Those who believe well will believe best will see the best. If we're going to get out of the boat, we're going to have to walk on the word. God didn't waste his words. You know, they're all there for a reason. Every word, every jot, every tittle, they're there for a reason. And they're there for us to believe. You know, if he told us to do something, it was for a reason. Well, if he told you, go into all the world and preach the gospel, it was for a reason. And if he told us not to do something, it was for a reason. You know, if he told us to stay away from something, it was for a reason. It's time we just get to the place where we stop using our own reasoning and start believing his reasoning. Because if you believe well, you will see well and you'll be prepared for what is coming. Amen. There's always more to God's word than meets the eye. There's more to sin than meets the eye. In Genesis 3 it says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Hey, Adam, Eve, it's a tree to be desired. The fruit sure looks good. I bet it tastes good. I bet it looks good. It tastes good. I hear it'll make you wise. I'm told that it'll open your eyes. What could go wrong? How bad can it be? Why not? Why not? I don't see the harm in it. But there was more to it than meets the eye. And there's more to sin than meets the eye. Adam and Eve, did you know that it would cost you your home? Did you know that it would cost you your sweet fellowship with God? Hey, did you know that it would bring death into the world? Did you know that it would bring a curse on mankind? Did you know that Cain would kill his brother Abel and you'd lose a son over it? Hey, did you know that rebellion and corruption will spread like cancer and bring a flood of judgment upon the world in Noah's day? Hey, did you know about the wars that you would start? Did you know about the slavery it would bring? Did you know about the rapes and the murders and the child molesting? Did you know about the genocide and the pestilence and the serial killers? Did you know about the crime and the gangs and the human trafficking? Did you know about the terrorism and the abortions? Did you know that hell would never be satisfied? Did you know that the devil's lies would prevail on so many people? Did you know that wide would be the path that leads to destruction, and narrow would be the way that leads to life. And few that there would be that would find it. Did you know that? Or was it just a piece of fruit to you? Boy, I'm telling you, we need to believe what God says. We need to believe well in order to see well. What are you looking at these days? Hey, what are you listening to these days? The devil's still fishing for sinners. You know, the allurement, the deception, the chase, the bite, and then the reality of the hook. There's more to sin than meets the eye. You know, and I don't know how to break this to you gently, but your phone is not God, or technology is not God. Okay? He is the great I am, not the great AI. Okay? There's nothing wrong with your phone. I have a phone. I make phone calls all the time. It's the smartphone. It's the knowledge of good and evil. It's the smartphone part of it that makes you stupid. It's that knowledge of good and evil and technology that puts it all together and puts it at your fingertips. You know, it's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And there's more to it than just meets the eye. You can't pet sin. You can't play with sin. You know, and there's more to it than meets the eye. It'll conform you to this world. It'll change your beliefs. It'll lead you down the wrong road. It'll put you around people you'd never get around in person with. And you won't see it coming. You have to believe well in order to see well. And there's so much more to sin than meets the eye. You know, there's more to salvation than meets the eye. I'll never forget December 2nd, 1990, sitting three or four rows back over here. You know, it was the first day I came to church. A friend encouraged me to come forward. It was a big day. I received the Lord as my Savior that day. You know, and I took my first steps on the new road by faith. I followed him right up into that room and I got baptized that day. And to be honest with you, it really didn't look like much. You know, I didn't know that it would change my life forever. I didn't know that my fear would be replaced with peace. I didn't know that he would give me beauty for ashes. I didn't know that my failures would turn into victories. I didn't know that my drug addictions would fall off. I didn't know that he would change my career. I didn't know that he would give me a hard-working, godly woman to share my life with. I didn't know that I would have a family that would love to serve the Lord. I didn't know all that came with that. I didn't know that I would preach one day His Word. I didn't know about the Well program or the RU program or the bus ministry. You know, it really just didn't look like much. It just looked like another hard-case sinner getting dunked underwater like we see around here quite often. But there's so much more to salvation than meets the eye. And those who will believe well will see well. There's more to people than meets the eye. You know, I guarantee you that I did not look like much on that day that I got saved. I came in with Rocky Raccoon eyes, hadn't probably been up for a week. I looked like trouble. I talked like the world. I couldn't control my eyes. I couldn't control my thoughts. You know, I didn't know any Bible. I constantly was breaking laws. You know, from the outside, you'd say, what a shame. He's so young to be throwing his life away. But hey, let me tell you something. Every day you walk by people in this world, we see them all over, day by day. You know, maybe it's a bus kid that can't sit still. Oh, you can't come anymore because you can't sit still. You know, maybe it's a teenager who picks fights. Maybe it's somebody who just got out of prison, or somebody who's been living on the streets, or maybe it's somebody who's sporting the wrong kind of flag, or somebody who's made some mistakes in their life, somebody who's messed up. This is a hospital, okay? Maybe it's somebody in a recovery program. Man often judges by what it sees on the outside. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on the countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For a man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. You know, There is more to people than meets the eye. Don't just walk by and misjudge people because they don't smell right, don't look right, ain't acting right, or they're not your brand. Look, this is a hospital, and we need to help people. We have the answer. Somebody helped you. We need to bring people in here. Where there is no vision, the people perish. I guarantee you, there's only one reason why I'm around today. It's because somebody saw what was not there yet. Pastor Ray believed well, and he saw in me what was not there yet. You know, Andy Lugo believed well, and he saw in me what was not there yet. Okay? Brother Steve believed in me, believed well, and he saw in me what wasn't there yet. Butch Miller believed well, and he saw in me what wasn't there yet. Hey, isn't that a parent's job? Oh, you're such a good little boy. He's a rotten, stinking little. But he's a good little boy. Isn't that our job? To see what's not there? Isn't that what brings it about? Isn't it praise that purifies? Hey, isn't that a school teacher's job? To see what's not there? Isn't that a soul winner's job? To see what's not there? You know, isn't that our job? Isn't that a bus worker's job to go out in the streets in those smelly little cockroach-infested apartments and get those little kids and see what's not there? Didn't somebody do that for you? Isn't that what God does for us? But God commendeth his love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's like we were a mess. And God says, oh, but I'm going to die for him. I see something in there. I see what's not there. But I see what could be there. There's more to people than meets the eye. And those who will believe the best will see the best. There's more to problems than meets the eye. The problem, our problems, our struggles are not for solving. You know, that little episode in that sound booth back right there, God's just trying to get those folks right. That's all. They're not for solving. It's to get them on praying ground. Right? I don't know why that's happening, but I'll tell you this. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. And when we please God, you know, we find pleasure. The byproduct is, when we please God, is that he's a debtor to no man. If we make him happy, please him, and the byproduct is, woo, we're pleased. It's called joy. It's called joy. You know, we find pleasure. You know, problems tend to accumulate in areas where we lack faith. You ever notice that? Our problems are faith builders. There's more to them than meets the eye. You got a problem in this area? You got a reoccurring problem in this same area? God's trying to build your faith in that area. Why? Because your faith is weak. And if it stays weak, then he's not pleased. And he wants you to be pleased. He wants you to have joy. So he sends a problem to your area where you have a trust deficiency. And then, you know, our problems are not for solve us. They're to build our faith. Jacob's problem turned him into a prince with God. Joseph's problem turned him into the prime minister of Egypt. You know, David's problems turned him into the king of Israel. Daniel's problems brought him from slavery into the palace. And he stood before four regime changes. You know, Jesus' problem turned him into the savior of the world. Hey, we like to cry about our problems. You know, we become blinded by our problems. You know, if only we would believe well, then we could see well enough to look for the faith and the prosperity, okay, that God has designed into every problem that we face. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. You know, there is more to the problems than meets the eye. And those who will believe the best will see the best. There's more to heaven than meets the eye. It's an incredibly, this is an incredibly beautiful world. You know, everywhere you look, you know, from the redwood trees to the forests, the mountains, the lakes, the oceans, the deserts, the Grand Canyon, beautiful sunsets, starry nights. Even under a curse, this world is amazing. But it doesn't even touch heaven. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. There is more to heaven than meets the eye. But those who will believe the best will see the best. Hey, there's more to hell than meets the eye. Lucifer's a liar, and he wants you to worship your will, just like he did. Put you your will above his will. Okay? So that you can become your own God. He convinced a third of the angels to do so. And they've convinced the majority of this world to do so. To trade eternity for the here and now. Part of his deception is that he minimizes the consequences of doing so. You know, there is more to hell than meets the eye. There's the lake of fire. You know, the Bible talks about in Revelation, it says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is that second death. You know, hell is like the county jail. You go there when you're awaiting trial. You know, and after you've awaited trial, eventually, you know, it's a place where your will no longer prevails. You're not allowed to run the streets. You're under control. It's but you'll have your day in court. That's the great white throne judgment. And that's when our soul and our body is reunited. And every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord of lords and King of kings. You know, they all have their day in court. They'll be judged. The lake of fire will be adjusted accordingly. Body, soul will be cast in. And tears will be wiped from the saints. That's us who are saved. What will we be crying about? We'll be crying because we'll be saying, if only we believed well. If only I believed like I should have believed. If only I would have believed well, I would have saw well, and I would have warned well, and I would have labored well, and I would have gone after it well. If only I would have believed more. What was that guy Pastor always uses for an illustration? William Booth. He says, all the training my workers would need is to, if I could dangle them over hell for a second. That's all the Bible college. That's all the training they would ever need. Why? Because they'd be believers. And let me tell you, God is telling us, hey, there is an eternal destination for the saved and there's an eternal destination for the lost. And if only we'd believe that well, it would change our day to day. We would see well. We wouldn't walk by people. Hey, what are we saving them tracks for anyway? What are we hanging on to them for? Was it a rainy day? Are we gonna are we gonna like sell them at a garage sale after the rapture? I don't know. Hey, if we believed well, if only we believed well. There's more to hell than meets the eye. Those who believe it best will see it the best. You know. How can we not be motivated to reach the lost? The only reason why Jesus didn't take us to heaven on the day that we were saved was so that we could be a witness for him. When he saved you, he could have just took you. Boom, he's saved. Up. They're gone. They're gone. They're gone. But he didn't. He left us so that we could be a witness for him. There's more to hell than meets the eye, and those who believe well will see well. You know, there's more to Jesus than meets the eye. He was beaten and bloody and crucified like a common thief. Are you the man that saved others? Can't you save yourself? You don't look like much. I spit on you. He didn't do nothing. You know? The crowd mocks you. And you do nothing. You say you walk on water, but you can't come down from the cross. But there was more to Jesus than meets the eye. The earth began to shake. The sky went dark. The sins of the world were placed upon the Lamb of God. And the veil in the temple was ripped in two. Mercy came shooting through the curtain. Like a prisoner set free. Straight down to where we had our need. There's more to Jesus than meets the eye. He wasn't just a man. He's the great I am. He's the creator of the world. He's the savior of the world. He's the bread of life. He's the good shepherd. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He's the Alpha and the Omega. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God. And the Word was with God. The same was in the beginning. And all things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness. And the darkness comprehended not. He was in the world. And the world was made by Him. And the world knew Him not. He came unto His own. And His own received Him not. Why? They didn't recognize Him. They didn't believe well, so they didn't see well. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Hey, all I'm saying is, man, we got to believe well if we're going to see well. Not get caught up into the here and now. And sell our birthright for a bowl of lentils. So important that we believe well. There's more to this world than meets the eye. There's no doubt, you know, that we're being surrounded by the enemy, both seen and unseen. The question is, how are we going to respond to it all? You know, like Elisha's servant living in fear and panic. You know, who needed his eyes to be opened so that he could see well because he didn't believe well. Or like the disciples who played it safe and they all stayed in the boat. Well, I love going, I just hop from this church to this church to this church. I'm so happy in church. Just playing church. You know? Stay in the boat, you know, play it safe. Wondering, is it really Jesus or is it a spirit? I'm not sure. You ask Him. No, you ask Him. No, you ask Him. No, I'll ask Him. Lord, if it's You, bid me come. You know? Or are we going to respond like Elisha, whose eyes were opened? Not because he saw the chariots that were surrounding, but because he believed they were there. Or like Peter, who believed enough to get out of the boat in spite of the wind and in spite of the waves. Hopewell Baptist Church, you are that little boat. Headed to the other side, Jesus, He sees your toil. He's seen all the buses we had and He's seen them dwindle down. And He's seen the crowds and He's seen things dwindle down. He sees the struggle. He sees what we're going through. He's praying for you. He's praying for us. What was one of the parables, he said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. And then at the end of the parable, he talked about the unjust judge and all that. But then at the end of the parable, he says, he wondered, am I going to find faith on the earth when I get back? He says, I wonder if there'll be anybody believing well, you know, anymore. You know, like I'm looking for another Moses. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I liked it when that fell apart at the sea. I like that Elijah guy who told the king, there'll be rain tonight. And then he went off and said, oh, Lord, let there be rain tonight. He believed well. Therefore, he could see well. I like those guys. God's looking down. You know, I had a guy named Moses. He used me. I had another little guy named David. You know, he believed well. I like that guy. Hey, how about Hopewell Baptist? I like that church. They believe well. He's still looking. You know? The question is, are we going to get out of the boat? You know? Are we going to play it safe? Let's just hold on together. We'll get in a prayer circle and we'll just wait for the rapture. Oh, Lord. Oh, Jesus, come still. Are we going to get out there and build some bus routes, get out there and find some new ways to get through these hard hearts? God, these kids are hooked on electronics like they're just as bad as drugs. God, I need to call some fire down like Elijah. Pierce those little hearts. What we need is we need some people that are believing well, so they can see well, so that they will labor well. I don't want to play it safe. You know? I want to get out of the boat. There's never been a greater time to get out of the boat. It's dark out there. Hey, it's never been a greater time to be a light. It's dark out there. You know? To walk on the word, there's never been a greater time to get out there and do something for God. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. But you have to
believe well
in order to see well. If you're here tonight and you've never put your trust in Jesus as your Savior, you know, to save your soul, well, then you're not even in the boat. And I tell you got to believe well. You know? Or you're not going to make it to the other side. There may be somebody in this room. There may be somebody online. All I can tell you is this. There's more to Jesus than meets the eye. But in order to see well, you're going to have to believe well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you, Lord, for your word, for giving it to us, Lord. And Lord, forgive us all for letting our problems fill our minds and our in electronics fill our minds and our and all the things, Lord, that are taking up data and making our faith weak. Lord, help us to get back to being true believers. Just believe the word. God answers prayer. God saves souls. God loves people. God's not willing that any should perish. God can use you. He can use me. It doesn't matter what you've done.